Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular's single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Every time you walk in it, you're creating an imprint that'll be there on your marriage for the rest of your lives. So we wanted to create this huge imprint. And to do that, we decided to do this really hard thing, which was to climb a mountain.
Welcome to A Way to Go, a production of iHeartRadio and Fathom. I'm Geralyn Gerba.
And I'm Pavia Rosati. Our guest today is Joe Piazza, an award-winning journalist whose work has appeared in The Wall Street Journal, The New York Times, and countless other publications, including our website, Fathom. She is a novelist of the political novel Charlotte Walsh Likes to Win and co-author of The Knockoff, a hilarious send-up of women's magazines. I read both, and I loved both. She's the host, if you are paying attention to your iHeart podcasts, she's the host of Committed, which delves into the hilarious, heartbreaking, and inspiring stories of couples who've soldiered through unimaginable circumstances and still want to wake up next to each other. Which brings us to what we're talking about today.
Jo met her husband on a boat in the Galapagos while on assignment as the managing editor for Yahoo Travel. 3 months later, after five dates in New York, San Francisco, Joshua Tree, Corsica, and Paris, they got engaged. Terrified of failing at her first year of marriage, Jo used her job as a travel editor to crowdsource marriage advice from around the world. The result is How to Be Married, What I Learned from Real Women on Five Continents About Surviving My First Really Hard Year of Marriage, a hilariously candid and raw account of her newlywed year. Along the way, Jo lost her dream job and learned she had a rare genetic form of muscular dystrophy. As a way of testing her new marriage and her physical abilities, she set out to, of course, climb Mount Kilimanjaro with her new husband.
As one does.
Yeah. So, Jo, can you tell us why you chose Kilimanjaro as the test of the mettle of your health and your new marriage?
Well, first I have to say, hearing this whole story said out loud, it sounds fake. It sounds like I made all of that up, doesn't it?
Yes, by the way.
It
yes.
does. Sometimes when people ask me how I met my husband, I just say Tinder.
Right.
Because it's easier. So we chose to climb Mount Kilimanjaro because we wanted to do something challenging that neither of us had ever done before. And my husband's a big traveler. I'm a big traveler. Combined between us, we had been to something like 50 countries. He's climbed mountains his entire life. And I wanted to do something that would really test both of us. So test us as individuals and then test our relationship, too, because I'm always looking for an out, I guess.
I love that you're testing it, but after you get married, not like as a prequel to.
Well, I kind of think the great thing about being married is that you can't just run away. So I wanted to do it after we got married, and we did it at the tail end of our first year of marriage, mm-hmm. which people kept telling us the first year of your marriage is the hardest year. They called it the wet cement year because it's the year where the cement is still kind of icky and gloopy, but every time you walk in it, you're creating an imprint that'll be there on your marriage for the rest of your lives. So we wanted to create this huge imprint, and to do that, we decided to do this really hard thing, which was to climb a mountain.
Had you already checked off zip lining and bungee jumping and jumping off mountains and things like that?
I studied abroad in Australia. You do all that when you're 18 years old. Mm-hmm. So I'd done the skydiving, the zip lining, the scuba diving,
The final frontier.
This was the final frontier.
It was
frontier.
A serious hurdle for you to have to do this together.
Well, we couldn't get on the SpaceX list, so Kilimanjaro.
Was there something about getting physically away from your home where you were living at the time and having this experience away from home that you think added to it? And was that one of the things that you said, we have to get out of home and get out of the routine as much as possible to do this?
Well, I think that the whole point of the book was to really push ourselves out of our comfort zones. And pushing ourselves out of our comfort zones meant getting away from home. It meant not just getting away from San Francisco, but getting away from the United States, because I think that travel tests a person in a way that nothing else does, because you're vulnerable and in a way that you're not at home, and you have to get out of your comfort zone. And when you do that, when you get there, you can actually see a real person. I mean, I tell people all the time, the amount of traveling we did for the first year of our marriage, I think equaled 10 years of fights and getting to know someone and peeling back the layers of the onion, because you just start to see a person for who they really are. Because travel, in its, I think, its best form, isn't easy.
Right.
It's hard. Little things come up that you don't expect. And so watching a person navigate that, you may see a person come out that you wouldn't see for 5 years in your marriage if you stayed at home.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, they lose their job, right? Or you can't pay your mortgage 1 month, and then you're dealing with these things. But when you're traveling and you miss flights, or your hotel reservation falls through, or no one speaks the language and you get food poisoning, you're dealing with that stuff right up front.
Right, right. So how did you go about planning the trip? Did you do it together every step of the way? Were you doing like a tit for tat kind of thing? Like, I want to do this, I want to do this, because you're both seasoned travelers.
We're both seasoned travelers, yeah. So we planned the trip together. We planned pretty much all of our trips together, except for the fact that I let Nick, my husband, do all of the airline booking. He is a miles geek.
Oh, he's a junkie.
He's a master of points. So I never even touch our airline accounts. And he's so good. I mean, we haven't paid for a domestic flight in years at this point. So I let him take care of all of that. He did all of our booking. And then I usually handle hotels and restaurants. And I took care of finding the different group that was going to help lead us up the mountain.
What was that group?
Intrepid Travel.
Okay.
Yeah. Intrepid Travel. And they were great. It was a small group.
How many people were on the trip?
Eight. There were eight people total.
And is that a good number for doing Kilimanjaro? I mean, is that what the standard?
So what I learned is that these Kilimanjaro trips can really run the gamut from group size to you can pay a gazillion dollars to do a private trip up the mountain. I didn't want to do that. I think it's more fun when you have more people to interact with. Or there's a 30-person trip, which is just insane because everyone walks at a different pace. Everyone climbs at a different pace.
Right.
And when you're trying to wait for 30 people to catch up, it's like you're herding hungry, angry, sweaty kittens.
Do they ask you beforehand what your level of activity is to pair you with people so that there are similar abilities on the trip at a time, precisely so that there's a more even pace to the trip?
They do. They ask you what your physical activity is. I mean, and so our group was mostly people that were like us, people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s who were relatively physically active, but not marathon runners.
Right.
Meanwhile, Nick could drink a six-pack of beer and climb a mountain the next day. I'm a person that's like slow and steady.
Right.
I can run a nice mile, and then I want to do a nice walk and have a cocktail. So we had people that were pretty similar to we were.
And so even though you were fit, you had just discovered that you were, in fact, sick.
I did. So right after we got married, I did a genetics test because we knew that we wanted to have kids relatively soon. I was 35. I'm like, why should we wait? And we wanted to find out if I was a carrier for muscular dystrophy, which my dad had recently passed away from. Mm. And so we got the test done and found out that I was. And it's this rare form of muscular dystrophy that hits you later in age. You have no symptoms, then all of a sudden you do have symptoms. So far, I've had no symptoms. But it was another...
Let's hope it stays that
way. Let's hope it stays that way. But it was another reason we wanted to climb a mountain. that we wanted to do this really physical thing. Because what happens with this disease is your muscles start to degrade.
Right.
And you can ultimately end up in a wheelchair. And I wanted to make sure that we'd done this big physical challenge together, that we had that kind of muscle memory in case it was something we couldn't do later on. And I also wanted to challenge my body. I wanted to prove that I could do this. And I always thought I was going to be the weak link on this trip.
Right.
Because I'm in perfectly acceptable physical condition.
Right.
Am I in mountain climbing condition? We didn't really know.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Have you made the switch to Knix? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from Knix. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from Knix are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try Knix. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to Knix. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's knix.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
So what was it like?
We chose a four-day trip.
So 4 days, is that 2 days up and 2 days down? Is that how it works?
Well, it's really only 1 day back down. It's really fast to get back down. It was 1 day of kind of acclimation and to start the climb.
Mm-hmm. And how far up the mountain do you get on that first day?
On that first day, you don't go that far.
There are Sherpas and guides who are carrying your stuff, or you're
carrying
your own stuff.
You have people carrying your stuff, but
so
you do
just
have,
you and your
you've
water
got a backpack.
Bottle. Okay,
you've got a backpack and a water bottle.
Is it cold? Is it hot? We're in
you
Africa
have a
here, right?
So this is Africa, but climbing Kilimanjaro, you go through about 7 different climate systems.
Mm-hmm. So strike a layer, add a layer.
It's like living in San Francisco. So you're wearing layers, you're peeling them off, you're
right.
putting them back on. You're in a rainforest jungle, and then all of a sudden you're in a desert. And by the time you're at the top, you're in kind of an Arctic zone, which can be below freezing temperatures. So you're packing for – this is literally a test of everything you would ever take on in travel, because you're packing for absolutely every ecosystem on the planet.
Right.
And trying to fit it all into a carry-on.
A tiny little bag.
All into a tiny little beautiful bag.
Right. Okay, so you're going up the mountain, and then so day two, what was it like? Like going to sleep at night? Was it,
well,
were
so
you?
I, yeah. Climbing the mountain, I was slow. What I realized is that I'm like not a very good mountain climber. And it was that was an interesting test for our marriage and relationship.
What does that mean? It means like you can't put one foot in front of the other. Like
no, I was just I got out of breath really easily. I found that I was kind of in the back of the group and Nick was in the front of the group. And it's not that I couldn't do it, but I was one of the slower people climbing this mountain. And it was really great because he hung back with me. He chose to adjust his pace to my pace, which looking back is this nice lesson because all of us are constantly going at a different pace than our spouse. And he chose to match mine.
Yeah. Okay, baby, thanks so much. Were you like, no, you go ahead. I don't want to hold
you
back.
Of course, as like, you know, a strong, empowered feminist woman, I'm like, oh, no, I'm fine. Go, get away from me.
Right.
And he didn't let me, which was also interesting to watch him be like, you know what? No, I want to be, can you just let me be with you?
Right.
And we'd heard stories going into this of couples who had broken up on Kilimanjaro. In fact, our guide had a couple on their honeymoon, maybe a year before we did the trip, who broke up on their honeymoon, and he went ahead of her. Her pace was slow. He didn't want to match it, and he kept going. He gets all the way to the top. She sees him as he comes back down.
And says,
no way,
bitch.
And she's like, we're done.
Yeah. Really?
I'm out. And they the guide stayed in touch, and they did not get back together. So break up on Kilimanjaro.
Yeah.
I want to like write a romantic comedy about that. One day when I have
feel
more
like
time.
There's so many metaphors happening on this mountain.
Oh, there's all. Well, I mean, it's like every metaphor happens on the mountain.
Yeah.
I feel like climbing a mountain is the best metaphor you can have for a marriage.
Right.
Full stop.
Right. And then with all those costume changes.
And then with all the costume changes.
So when you were climbing and there are these other people around, how much time were you spending just the two of you walking? Because I've heard from friends who've climbed it that like, you get into this rhythm with your breath, for example, where you can't really talk anymore, and so you're just hearing each other breathe, and maybe you kind of breathe in a syncopated rhythm.
It gets really
meditative.
These
kind of really interesting things happen. Were there times when it was just you two and the group was far ahead or behind? Were you always with other people around you?
No, it was mostly just the two of us because there's a guide in the front and there's a guide in the back, so you walk at your own pace. You're not being forced to walk with the group the entire time. So mostly it was really just the two of us, and it was not that crowded.
No.
And it felt like just the two of us climbing this mountain together, which was a really beautiful thing.
Can you tell us a little bit about the kinds of conversations you were having or not having during the course of these 12-hour walks every day? And then when you were in your lean-to sharing your sleeping bag or in the pitch black, what was going on there? Was it learning about how to be silent together? Were you finding that there are a lot of conversations coming up? Were you singing?
So I went into this trip thinking that we were going to have all of these life-changing conversations, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to be walking together. We're going to be climbing this mountain. We'll talk about everything. And we didn't. And I think that that's a tremendous blessing because I think that climbing, your breath, it does become labored. You are going uphill while you're climbing Kilimanjaro after a while, after about the first hour of climbing a day. And we just kind of learned to walk in this beautiful silence together. And I think that taught us how to be quiet together. During the courtship period and the first frenetic year of marriage, you're talking all the time. You're talking about what you're going to do the next day. You're making plans. When are we going to have a baby? Are we going to buy a house? Do we want to stay in San Francisco? Do you want to live closer to your parents? And it's just constant chatter. And we live in a world of constant chatter. So learning to not talk and learning to be quiet together was this really amazing thing that I think we've carried on into our marriage now, 5 years later.
Hmm.
It did start to get grueling because I'm a terrible sleeper. I mean, I'm like the worst sleeper. And they tell you that because of the altitude, you can't take Ambien, which is my worst nightmare. And so I didn't sleep. And it gets freezing cold on the mountain at night. So I was freezing cold, not sleeping. I cried myself to sleep. I didn't want to go out. You leave your little lean-to that you're sleeping in to go outside to use the bathroom. There's these monkeys shrieking as if they want to murder you. I didn't want to leave. It was pitch black out there. So, you know, essentially I just, you know, held it all night long, awake, freezing cold. And so not sleeping was driving me insane. And I felt like I was slowly going insane going up this mountain. But then you're walking all day long. You're walking 12 miles a day. And you're like, all right, these endorphins are helping me out. So you feel amazing and terrible, and you have every range of emotions you can possibly have.
Oh, my God. It's so concentrated because all that you're doing is walking. You're not going out to the restaurant. You're not going shopping. You're not going to a gallery. It's like the travel experience stripped bare down to one thing, walking.
Walking.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it.
Sorry, can you tell me, like, what are you saying? Is it rocky? Are there trees? Are there bushes? If you're going through these different climates, are you also going through different geological and physical things
100%.
That you're saying?
Yeah, it changes every day.
So it starts from, like, green shrubs and
yeah. Well, it starts in rainforest.
Right.
So it starts in rainforest with these beautiful colobus monkeys. They're the black monkeys that look as though they're wearing a long black cape. They're gorgeous with these long, furry white tails. Mm. They're about the size of Labrador retrievers. And so they're hopping from branch to branch above your head, and these chameleons are just skittering around the ground in all different colors. And it's absolutely gorgeous. You're in the rainforest. And then you emerge, and you're kind of in this temperate forest with these weird trees and plants, these trees called ground cells, that look like they belong on the set of a Star Trek planet. And then you're climbing up into this crazy Arctic desert. And also there's rocks to climb over all the time, and scree, which is like gravel, where you walk three steps and you're pushed back two steps. So you feel like Sisyphus rolling a boulder up a mountain.
Up a hill. So it's okay. All right. So you are getting up the mountain. What happens? Did you make it to the top of the mountain? Did you overcome your physical challenge?
This feels like a spoiler alert, but I don't care because I've talked about it so many times already. Like I said, I thought I was going to be the weak link on this trip, and I was nervous about it because I didn't want to fail in front of my new husband. I wanted to be this strong, empowered woman, but I was like, I also know that the last day of the climb, it's very, very steep. The walking is very hard. It's below freezing temperatures, and I was scared of it. We're approaching that last day. We're walking through what's becoming kind of an Arctic desert zone. It's just this completely empty landscape.
I wish we had visuals. I wish we could show everybody what we're seeing right now and where you are at which point of the journey. Mm. Listeners, just imagine
it looks
along,
a little
Arctic
bit like you're on the moon.
Yeah.
It really does. And all of a sudden, Nick started slowing down, and that was weird because I'd never seen Nick slow down. Mm. And he's like, I don't feel good. And I'd also never seen Nick admit that he didn't feel good. Mm. And then he sits on the ground, and he actually sat on the ground right next to this, like, rusted out gurney that someone had just tossed behind like a cactus or something. And I'm like, oh, wow, well, we could use that gurney if you need it. And he's like, I'm not okay. And he, despite my husband being in this tremendous shape, despite being the guy who could drink a six-pack and run a marathon, he got the altitude sickness.
Oh. Right.
And again, I hate being like, it's a perfect metaphor for marriage, but it is, because this is not what we expected to happen.
Right.
Right.
So then what happened?
So he sits down, his head is spinning, and if you've never gotten altitude sickness before, it's kind of like the worst hangover you've ever had in your entire life that just hits you out of nowhere.
Massive headaches, and you
just can't even see. Yeah. You can't see, you're dizzy, you can hardly stand up. His breathing got really labored really quickly.
And you knew that this is what it was.
I mean, we knew this was what it was. He felt like he was going to pass out. The guide tries to give him oxygen. Doesn't work.
Wow.
And we just realized it was only going to get worse from there.
Because you just had higher to climb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so higher quickly.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, this is the point where the altitude goes up so quick.
And are there other people that you're seeing stopped on the side of the mountain?
No, we didn't see other people because they're very good at staggering these routes. So you don't feel, I've been to places where I'm like, oh my God, this is just crowded with tourists and I hate this.
And this isn't
but
like
this,
that.
This is not
yeah.
like
And so
that.
You had to, it's just you guys and you have to make a decision of whether or not you're going
to
go up or go down or stay put?
We couldn't really stay put because we had about half a day's worth of hiking to get back down to the next camp and a few more hours to go up. But like I said, it was a steep climb from there. So his altitude sickness was only going to get worse. And he told me to keep going. He's like, you go and I go back down. And you spend a lot of money to climb Kilimanjaro, right? So like that's the financially sound decision. You climb the mountain. And I didn't want to do it without him. I also didn't want him to go down alone.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, metaphor alert again.
I know. To like send him alone? And I said, no. And we sat there. We're just like sitting in the dirt. And you can see the peak this whole time, too. So it's taunting you.
Right.
The peak is just like, I'm here. You could reach me if you really tried hard enough. And I was like, well, we're just going back down.
Did you have any moment where you were like, oh, should I go up?
Of course I did. Right. Of course I did. I had that moment where I was like, I do really want to do this. And look at me. I'm doing so well on this mountain.
I'm conquering this mountain.
And of course you're thinking of all of the pictures on the peak of the mountain, too.
Right.
You're like, you know, with your arms above your head and doing a star jump at the peak with the wooden sign and all of that. And I ultimately decided I needed to go down with him. I needed to take care of him. In a way that I'd also never, ever taken care of another human being. And we went down, and it was kind of great, too, because we're going to do it again.
Ah, that was going to be my next question.
And now we talk about it a lot. We're like, all right, how old do our kids have to be?
Before
you can do it again.
We can do it again, and we've had one
with the kids,
kid.
Or no? Or do
I
you leave
the
kids
kid.
Behind?
We did.
Really?
I mean, we did see families doing it with kids as young as 7. I mean, kids are also good hikers. Like,
yeah,
our,
and
even
fearless.
Our 2-year-old is like a scrambler.
Well, I have 2 questions. 1, do you have any advice that you give people who are attempting to do this with a partner? And then 2, do you feel like it's always necessary to go into the whole story and kind of out your husband as the guy who couldn't
make
it?
Oh my God, he hates that I out him.
that would really get at me.
I know. I was also writing this book, right? And so this book chronicled our first year of marriage and all of our travels during our first year of marriage. And I had no idea how it was going to end because you don't know how it's going to end.
Right.
It's nonfiction. And so as we're walking down, I'm like, well, this is great. I'm like, it's just the perfect ending. And he's like, Jesus.
Too soon, Joe.
And he was, and he, you know, he's got an ego. He's a man, and he's embarrassed that he didn't climb it. So I do. I bring it up. I bring it up every time.
I'm going to counter this, though. I think that you did climb it because you know the experience.
Oh,
you've
yeah.
done the whole thing. It's almost like you go to a restaurant and you have the 7 courses, but you skip the dessert. You still had the meal at the restaurant,
we
right?
Still ate
it's
it.
Not like you didn't climb Kilimanjaro.
No.
You climbed 85% of Kilimanjaro.
We saw the peak. We could touch. We could pretty much touch.
Yeah,
there you
I'm
go.
Saying
peak
that you climbed right it. There. I'm saying that
for
that
the
you
record.
It.
For the record, we climbed it.
Anyway,
it.
But as Gerilyn said, for people who are listening and say they want to go on Kilimanjaro with or without a partner, any
don't do the fast trip. That's and Nick says this every time. He says
take more time.
He says if he had one extra day, he would have been fine.
That's interesting.
And I think that that's true. I think that he needed one extra day to acclimate at the 3rd level, the final level, and he would have been totally fine.
And so a 5-day trip is the way to do it, as opposed to a
5 or even a 6. Just I say to slow down and take your time. And, you know, we're the people, we were also cramming in safaris. We were using this.
Yeah.
It was late in our first year of marriage, but we were using it as our honeymoon. And so, you know, we were going to Ngorongoro Crater and the Serengeti after that and then up to Kenya. And we're like, whatever, we can do this. So let's do it quickly. And I think since
we got
then,
22 minutes, let's climb Kilimanjaro.
Let's climb Kilimanjaro. Since then, we're trying also to embrace slow travel more. And to, like, really kind of savor one experience, as opposed to we used to be people that were like, we can do an entire country in 5 days.
Right.
And now we're like, let's just spend 2 weeks in a
one
single
place.
City and not maybe a neighborhood.
Yeah.
And not leave it.
This is a reason why a lot of people who plan this Kilimanjaro adventure will then pair it with a beach holiday in Africa afterwards so that you can
relax and decompress
from this incredibly intensive metaphorical thing that you've just done.
Yeah, exactly. So I would say slow down. Slow it down and also make sure that both you and your partner are on the same page going into it. I think talking about the things that I've just talked about, you know, if I'm slow and you're fast, do you care if we don't walk together?
Right.
Do you care if you're up in the lead? Will you feel abandoned?
Is this something that a solo traveler can do, or is this something you do with a buddy, right?
Such an easy trip for a solo traveler because the group trips are so good. The guides are so experienced. And you meet people. Half of our trip was solo travelers.
Solo travelers,
yeah. So I think it's a wonderful thing to do as a solo traveler. And also that time alone, when you have people you can talk to, of course, but like it's a really wonderful meditative experience.
You're in there with your head.
You're in there in your head, and you really are just walking. I mean, but walking for 12 hours a day going uphill is hard. It's hard on your body. But it is just walking.
And with this great end goal, too. It's not just walking aimlessly. It's, you know, it has this
great... You have a goal. But I think anyone can do it. Like I said, we saw kids as young as 7, and there was this one German man in the group ahead of us who had to be in his 70s, who wore like a half cut off sweater and like these suspenders and shorts. And we just kept running into him, and we loved him so much. But yeah, and he was in his 70s.
Thank you so much for sharing that
and
with us.
Great stories.
Yeah, I feel like it sounds like such a beautiful journey, and it does play perfectly into a book. It does sound like fiction a little bit.
It totally sounds like fiction.
Have the movie rights been purchased?
So the nonfiction television rights have been purchased for How to Be Married.
Wow.
We're working on turning it into a travel show right now, actually, where we send different couples around the world to try to heal the things in their marriage through working with different cultures.
Well, that's awesome. And we'll have you back to talk about that. Joe Piazza, thank you so much. I want to pause. I want to thank Nick for letting us share his story. Nick, you are a champion among men, and you are a model husband. Just take it from
so
me, who has never been
that.
Married to you, but that's what I think from where I'm sitting. Tell our listeners where they can find you, in addition to the Committed podcast on iHeart and on every single bookshelf in the bookstore.
I talk most on Instagram of all the social platforms. I'm at Joe Piazza Author on Instagram, and that's where I talk about all my new book releases and new podcast releases and where we're traveling next, which is not a lot of places because I'm giving birth in about 7 weeks.
Well, we're excited for that. And for those who are not good on their Italian spelling, that is at Jopiazza Author, Author.
Yay. Thanks.
There you
this
go.
Was so much fun, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will put in the show notes details about Joe's trip, including photographs of the moment they decided to go back down, of the rusted out stretcher behind the cactus, as well as other details about how you can do this trip if you are so inclined and inspired to book a trip after hearing this episode, which I am. And that brings me to, hey, Geraldine, would you like to climb Mount Kilimanjaro
with
me?
I was going to ask you the same thing.
Yeah.
Wait,
okay.
Pavia, no talking. We have to be silent the whole time.
I'm into
Are you okay
it.
With that?
Yeah.
All right, let's
I
do it.
I always seem like the talker.
And that's our show. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe.
And, you know, leave us a 5-star review.
A Way to Go is a production of iHeartRadio and Fathom. You can find the details we talked about in the show notes and on our website, fathomaway.com. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter when you're there.
You can get in touch with us anytime at podcast@fathomaway.com and follow us on all social media at @fathomwaytogo. Please tag your best travel photos, #travelwithfathom.
If you want to really go deep on the travel inspiration, pick up a copy of our book, Travel Anywhere and Avoid Being a Tourist. I'm Geraldine Gerba.
And I'm Pavia Rosati. And we'd like to thank our producer, editor, and mixer, Marcy DePina, and our executive producer, Christopher Hasiotis. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And...
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.